This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Future Farm Botanicals Liquid Wild Oil of Oregano with rosemary extract and natural honey flavor. Future Farm's Wild Oil of Oregano supports a variety of healthy benefits, including antimicrobial effects, as well as supporting the immune system. Plus, Future Farm is the first ever to formulate Wild Oil of Oregano with rosemary. Rosemary aids circulation, helps alleviate muscle pain, improves memory, and also gives your immune system a boost. The natural honey flavor enhances the taste while still giving you all of the benefits. For more information and to order, call 888-841-7216, 888-841-7216, or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's future, P-H-A-R-M, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Wild oil of oregano is all natural, science-based, and works without adverse side effects. MyFutureFarm.com/Hoffman. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. It's our weekly Q&A with Layla, wherein we answer your questions. And so we're talking about whatever is your concern. Radioprogram at AOL.com is the destination for questions. I think as a good sign is that we're beginning to answer questions that are not necessarily COVID-19 related. I guess that's a sign of normalization. So we'll get to those questions momentarily. But I just want to note just a little peculiarity in the statistics that we're seeing coming out of surveys of sick patients. What we're seeing is that the number one risk factor, the so-called comorbidity, you know, that's a word that I don't think a lot of people didn't know until, you know, this coronavirus epidemic, comorbidity. That's a real medical word because, you know, we actually had these meetings every week in the hospital called M&M, and morbidity and mortality. In other words, why did people get sick? And why did people die? And we would kind of go over retrospectively, you know, how, you know, what's going on? Why? What are the risk factors and so on? But the comorbidities mean the things that predispose people to being very, very sick with this. And the number one comorbidity is obesity. And this comes from statistics compiled here in New York. And of course, you know, that's associated with hypertension and diabetes and, you know, all manner of metabolic derangements. But a very interesting, unexpected statistic came forward, which is that smokers are not at higher risk. And that didn't make sense at all, right? Because you would think that smokers, you know, they mess up their lungs, they cough, you know, and they have a lot of mucus secretion. And we know that smokers get more bronchitis. So why aren't they getting sicker and dying at a higher rate from this disease?
I think I could speak to that.
Okay, good. Go ahead.
And
take a shot at it. Take a shot at it, because nobody really knows.
Yeah. This comes from my own experience, as a former smoker. I quit in 1992.
Yeah.
And nicotine has a dampening effect on allergic reaction and possibly asthma. When I quit smoking back in 1992, I kind of seemingly randomly developed a little bit of asthma, which was then explained by my allergist, the wonderful Dr. Morton Teach here in New York. Said, oh yeah, well, nicotine was tamping down your allergic reaction, and now you're just more allergic than anything. And springtime hit, and here you were, and out jogging and getting all congested and so forth. Nicotine also tamps down to some degree autoimmunity, like in a case of ulcerative colitis.
Wow, boy, Layla, you are smoking hot today. I'm telling you, that's amazing. Because I've been doing, we haven't rehearsed this. You know, we've been kind of working away on our own here. Yeah. You didn't expect me to pop this question on you, but I've been looking this up too, and there really is some stuff about nicotine as being a little bit immunosuppressive. Now that's bad because maybe you get more small kinds of small stuff.
Yeah.
But when
it
comes to like the severe meltdown that people are experiencing in the intensive intensive care unit, maybe it's a little immunosuppressive in a way that prevents people from developing cytokine storm. Now, it didn't say that that smokers were better off. It just said that they were no worse off.
Which is so interesting.
Yeah. Now, they also speculated that a lot of the problems in China were because there's everybody smokes there. And by the way, you know, if you don't smoke, you're breathing. And when you breathe in a metropolitan area in China, it's probably as bad as smoking a pack of cigarettes. I mean, it's like the haze that hangs over these industrial cities is just, you know, cut it with a knife. So, I mean, look, again, in no way does this condone smoking or vaping, but it's just an interesting anomaly in the statistics that we have to explain. And it may be that perhaps nicotine, if you take it instead of inhaling it, which definitely damages the lungs, maybe taking it as a gum or taking it as a lozenge may have a pharmaceutical effect to, you know, kind of tamp down over-exuberant immune response. I mean, just saying, I mean, we have to be open to all kinds of theories, even about, you know, something as bad as, as cigarettes.
Right, right. That is interesting, though. Yep. That is very interesting.
Okay. So the takeaway is not like start smoking Marlboros. No, folks, that's not.
No, don't do that. Yeah. Paul Mall. Oh my God.
Yeah.
We are on now to our first non-COVID related question.
In about a month.
This comes from Ellen. What foods to avoid and what supplements should one take to help combat fatty liver?
Okay.
Well, that's a whole podcast right there.
That is, and we've done an entire podcast devoted to that subject. But, you know, shall we do a little lightning round?
Yes.
I'll start with vitamin E. There are actually some pretty plausible studies where vitamin E was used, even in, you know, major scientific journals. I think New England Journal of Medicine had a study of vitamin E at about 400 international units per day. It might have been 800, which showed that there were protective effects of vitamin E. So, you know, that I think certainly could be helpful. Now your turn.
Now, I'm thinking acetylcholine, alpha lipoic acid, things like that. First of all, the diet, you need to bring down triglycerides.
Yep.
If there is evidence of fatty liver, look at the triglycerides. They're probably in the 300, 400, 500, 600, 800.
Yes, because that that's in your bloodstream eventually can clog your liver.
Exactly. So you want to embark. The only way to bring down triglycerides and that fatty liver is to embark on a lower carb diet so that when your body is burning fat for energy, it's burning up that fat in the liver.
You mean fat's not bad for a fatty liver? Dietary fat?
Yeah. No. It's not about the fat. It's the carbohydrates that cause the fat to go up. It causes the liver to produce more triglycerides.
The liver. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And particularly bad, according to some studies, is high fructose corn syrup.
Oh, yeah.
Which, I mean, in the old days, the advent of that was about 1950s, 60s. That's when it really came on stream. You know, partially it was the result of our surfeit of corn in this country and our loss of some of our colonial possessions in South America, Cuba, and so on. I mean, not literally colonial, but, you know, we were getting a lot of sugarcane from those places. And we found it was cheaper and more expedient to just, you know, take the corn and transform it into high fructose corn syrup. You know, it's a good subsidy for our corn farmers who were making a surfeit of corn. So there we have it. Yep.
Yeah. Other liver supportive nutrients, acetylcholine or phosphatidylcholine.
Not acetylcholine, that's a neurotransmitter. Phosphatidylcholine, you mean? PC.
Phosphatidylcholine, thank you. Phosphatidylcholine, N-acetylcysteine, alpha lipoic acid. What would you say about milk thistle in this regard?
Silymarin is fine. Just keep in mind that silymarin can affect the metabolism of certain drugs. So if you're taking other medications, you have to make sure
that... P450 pathway. Right.
Silymarin can actually diminish the effectiveness of certain medications. Yeah, so we have to be careful. There's a case to be made for probiotics because the endotoxins from the bad bacteria in the gut can go via the portal vein and affect the liver and promote inflammation. There's some information on tea. Tea actually green tea has been said, you know, to be potentially harmful, but actually small amounts of EGCG are helpful and preventive.
Right. I mean, you'd have to take boatloads of EGCG.
Right.
But listen, you eat too many apples, you're going to get a stomach ache. Mm-hmm. It's It's the concept of how much is enough, number one. You know, fatty liver disease is talk about an epidemic now.
Yes.
Or maybe pandemic with the obesity rates and so forth. Yep. Non-alcohol related fatty liver disease.
Mm-hmm.
Non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, NAFLD, has been on the rise.
And it's a dietary problem. It doesn't even have to do with booze. I mean, alcohol will make it worse, but you don't have to drink at all to get it.
Right, right. You just have to have a very poor diet. So a fatty liver diagnosis, and Dr. Hoffman, we've had lots of patients with fatty liver diagnosis. We've been able to turn it around with the proper diet.
Almost invariably, yeah.
Supplements,
Talk about supplements not to take.
Oh, supplements not to take during this time. I would not take high amounts of vitamin A. I would be careful. You know, if you use any pain reliever like Tylenol, you must use it very sparingly, if at all.
Niacin.
Niacin is another one that could be hard on the liver. Mm-hmm. You want to make sure that you're not taking certain herbs like, a black cohosh.
Mm-hmm.
Black cohosh is popular in women who are experiencing hot flashes. You don't want to take it forever and ever and for years and years. I think kava mm-hmm. is another herb to be careful with mm-hmm. or not take it for long mm-hmm. amounts of time without any supervision or checking liver function tests.
Iron.
Iron. Oh, yes, too much iron. Check ferritin levels, because if there's evidence of fatty liver, there might be a higher ferritin
Iron accumulation in the liver could be contributory to that. Some of these natural cholesterol-lowering agents, you know, we know that statin drugs can affect the liver. And so, you know, we might be careful with... cholesterol lowering
medications like your Lipitor and your
the natural ones too. You know,
red yeast rice.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But you know, they could take something like the Earl Grey, the bergamot. They mm-hmm, could take mm-hmm. maybe panethene. I don't know if panethene is.
Yeah.
That much useful anymore.
But you know what happens when you get on this kind of diet? Your cholesterol comes down anyway. You know, your ratio improves.
Yeah,
so you'll be helping yourself in that respect.
HDL goes up. Any LDL particles become big and fluffy and less, you know, more desirable. Triglycerides come falling off a cliff if you do mm-hmm. the diet right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There might be a place for NAC, NAC, well for liver support because it helps to build glutathione, which we know is supportive for liver function. So, yeah, there you have it.
Yeah. Wow. Ellen, thank you for that question.
But a lot of it is diet, really. You know,
Of it is diet.
Yeah.
Absolutely true. We have a question, from Arlene. My son has always been allergic to cats, rabbits, dogs, and horses. He's now 45 years old. He's a biker, a swimmer. He's healthy. No medical concerns. He's on a good diet. Well, his wife bought a dog 4 years ago, and she and the children love to pieces the supposed non-allergenic dog.
Yeah, right.
And he deals with the dog because this is the family dog, and they love their dog. And so he manages in the summer months with the windows open in the house, but in other seasons, it's very difficult. He leans on an albuterol inhaler, helpful.
If it's seasonal, it's probably not the dog, right?
Right, right.
Yeah.
So, he's able to open the windows in the warmer months. So that helps him deal with it. But
when he's
up in the winter.
Enclosed. I got it.
Yeah, And he has one room in the house which is a no-dog zone, and that is mm-hmm. his room.
Right.
Is there anything he can add to his diet to help in this situation?
All right.
Oh, I'm afraid the answer might... Oh, no.
Well, yeah, you know...
Air purifiers in every room might be helpful.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't like the idea of a chronic use of Zyrtec or Claritin or anything like that.
But, you know, let's presume that the dog is a given. You know, it sounds like the dog is a given. And what can we do to mitigate that? And I'm not saying that the answer is...
Hey, the word of the year is mitigate.
Mitigate, right. It's mitigate. Like the enemy of the good is the perfect.
Right.
right?
Right.
So anyway, maybe high-dose quercetin,
yes.
Lots of omega-3 fatty acids because they're anti-inflammatory. Yeah, maybe.
Stinging nettle.
Yeah.
Vitamin C has an antihistamine effect.
Yeah.
All of those are found in DHIS.
What about diet? You know, maybe, so maybe the guy's like wolfing down, you know, mac and cheese and, you know, having a lot of, you know, Swiss cheese on rye. Maybe he could reduce his allergic susceptibility through some diet modification, do you think?
Definitely dairy. The elimination of gluten or any grains, for that matter, may be helpful.
And wheat. You know what I find in people who are very sensitive to pet dander, that elimination of dairy can be helpful.
Yeah.
For some reason. I mean, I'm not sure what the cross-reactivity is between the proteins in dairy and the proteins that come off the skin, because it's actually dander, as in the word dandruff that people are sensitive to, not the hair. I mean, that's something worth trying.
It
generally tends to bring down allergy levels. It's worked for me. I've tamed my allergies by not having three categories of food during allergy season. I don't have wheat, I don't have dairy, and I don't drink yeasty beer. You know, beer would set me off.
Right, definitely. So these are the things. Arlene, I mean, I've heard other, like, allergists say, well, you got to get rid of the dog.
Yeah.
No. That would be sad, especially for kids, right?
We don't want to be inhumane, so we're going to propose a workaround.
You know, another recommendation is, you know, do you have a lot of textiles in your house? Do you have a lot of heavy drapes?
Yeah.
Rugs, wall-to-wall carpeting. These are things that hold dander and dust.
So reduce your allergy load. You know, it may be that by reducing some other things.
Reduce the allergy load.
Yeah.
Just have your hardwood floors, your naked hardwood floors. Just have maybe some simple blinds on the window, not a lot of fabric. May want to look there, too, because these textiles, they hold dander and you have to vacuum the sofa. You have to vacuum the upholstery. Often.
Yeah, and invest in a vacuum that has a good HEPA filter in it that really doesn't exhaust dust particles out the back. You know, the cheap ones don't have proper filtration. Hey, Layla, do you think this might be a good idea to allow one of our sponsors an opportunity?
Time for that.
Yeah. Did you want to say something?
Oh, no. You go on. Come back to it.
So we're going to allow our sponsor an opportunity to share a vital message with you. Here goes. Are you looking to give your immune system a boost? This is Dr. Ronald Hoppen with a natural solution from Future Farm Botanicals, liquid wild oil of oregano with rosemary extract and natural honey flavor. Future Farm's wild oil of oregano supports a variety of health benefits, including antimicrobial effects, as well as supporting the immune system. Plus, Future Farm is the first ever to formulate wild oil of oregano with rosemary. Rosemary aids circulation, helps alleviate muscle pain, improves memory, and also gives your immune system a boost. The natural honey flavor enhances the taste while still giving you all of the benefits. Future Farm sources this product from the Mediterranean and produces it in the United States. For more information and to order, call 888-841-7216, 888-841-7216, or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's future, P-H-A-R-M, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Wild oil of oregano is all natural, science-based, and works without adverse side effects. MyFutureFarm.com/Hoffman. Thanks for listening, and thanks for supporting our sponsors. They're what make Intelligent Medicine a continuing free resource to you, and we know how important that is to you during this time of crisis. And now back to our questions.
Yeah, I just wanted to finish up that last one. If somebody's very, very allergic, like Arlene's son is to animal dander and all of that, did you know that you should also, do you know that we're supposed to vacuum our mattresses and our bed frames as much as once a month? I know, who does that, right?
Yeah, but that's it's all the mites, dust mites.
All the mites.
They eat our skin flakes.
Yeah. I think having an air purifier, an air filter in as many rooms as you can, you know, that your pocketbook will allow you to make such purchases, that makes a big, big, big difference. Mm-hmm. It really does.
Yeah,
you want
clean air.
You can come in out of a pollen-infested, lovely spring day, come into the house, turn on the air purifier, sitting in a particular room, and in about 20 minutes, your congestion should subside, if that air purifier is worth anything at all. So,
I have one more, which is use clear nasal spray, because you can actually rinse some of that pollen out of your dander out of your nasal passages. Mm-hmm. So keep your nasal passages clear. The product is spelled X-L-E-A-R, and that'll also fend off bacterial infections because it's antibacterial.
Right. Arlene, thank you for that question. Oh, we have one from Sylvia. I'm a longtime listener and appreciate and value your expertise. When purchasing food, I get very confused. Can you clarify for me what the various labels really mean? Organic, natural, grass-fed, free-range, farm-raised, wild. Thank you so much for your input.
Yeah, I'm laughing because there's a lot of confusion about labeling. And frankly, I mean, there's no standards for making the claim that something is wild, you know.
That's true. Right? I've not seen that.
Right.
But I will say this. To start off, the word natural means nothing.
Right. Thank you.
Not when it comes to food labeling. It means nothing at all. Don't even let it sway you into buying a particular product just because it says natural. It really means nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, organic, it's the organic standard, which unfortunately in recent years is becoming more and more lax.
Mm-hmm.
That they could deem something organic if it's a little more than 50% of that or something. I tend to disagree with all of this. But organic still, so far, has some meaning. And you want to get organic. You want to look for that green and white circular label, USDA organic, when you're looking for organic mm-hmm, food. Mm-hmm. Like I said, natural means nothing. Grass-fed is very important. You want to get grass-fed beef, but you want to also make sure that it's grass-finished. The whole cattle industry, all baby calves start on grass, mm-hmm. so they can call it grass-fed.
Mm-hmm.
But then it goes over into the factory farm where they're fed a whole lot of corn and soy, and they're fattened up
right
for the slaughter. But they were grass fed in the beginning. So it's not just a matter of grass fed. You want to make sure it's grass finished. Free range, typically when it comes to chickens or eggs or something like that. Free range, meaning they weren't cooped up.
There's sort of these arbitrary rules, like if they have more than like a certain number of inches to move around in, that constitutes free range, you know, and whatever that means.
That's
sort
true.
Of like solitary confinement versus maximum security. You know, it's like a very slight difference.
And it could just be that they left the gate on the fence open, but did the chickens go out to the range?
Right.
That's the other question.
Right.
So it's true. That's true. So I would still look for organic
I think organic, we can say, is going to give you some measure of protection, yeah?
Right. Grass-fed, grass-finished, you know, farm-raised is farm-raised. I don't see a label for that or wild. Mm-hmm. So, Sylvia, that's really it. Natural means nothing. I've not seen a wild label. Farm-raised, I don't really see a farm-raised label on anything. You want to look for grass-fed, you want to look for organic.
How about pasture-raised? That's become sort of a buzzword, yeah. But you know, I've seen the eggs that are pasture-raised, but they're not organic. So then I go, pasture-raised. Right. I mean, actually, sometimes I take 10 minutes at the egg counter because there's like a bewildering array of options. So it's like, oh, this one, is it the right size? Is it the right, this one's pasture-raised, but it's not organic. Okay, this one's organic, but it's not pasture-raised. And if you want it pasture-raised and organic, it's going to be like $9 a dozen. You know, it's crazy.
Oh, yeah. Egg prices have gotten crazy, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Eggs are still a good bet. They're pretty economical food.
Right. Thank you for that very, very thoughtful question. The other thing is, a lot of grass-fed beef doesn't say grass-finished. You want to look for grass-finished. And I'm speaking to all the farmers out there, or the distributors, or the food manufacturers. Start using this kind of label. This is also what people are looking for. A lot of people will argue, like I just said earlier, that every baby calf is raised on grass. So we could say you can call any package of meat grass-fed because it has at least at one point in his life been grass-fed.
This comes under the category of weasel words, you know, weasel words. You know, look, it's a, you really almost have to have a PhD in nutrition, you know, or advanced degree as you have to pick your way through the morass. And you can even see with all the qualifications you're giving that it's not entirely clear.
It's true. And it's getting more and more fuzzy, as we go because of the big food, agribusiness, those lobbyists and all of that kind of thing. So it's unfortunate.
But it really does pay to be discerning about your food supply because you've certainly organic means that there's less pesticides. There's less of a tendency to get GMO products. You know, the nutritional value has been demonstrated to be higher in organic products in many studies. So that's all the time that we have for today's edition of Q&A with Layla. And so keep sending your questions. Radioprogram@AOL.com. Of course, we're always ready to answer your questions about COVID-19, which will stay with us, unfortunately, for quite some time to come. But we're opening up the floodgates to questions of a general nature.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good sign.
Yeah. Yeah. So keep it coming, everybody. And thank you for downloading these podcasts. What else are you going to do when you have all the time in the world, seemingly?
Indeed. You might as well enrich your brain. And, you know, I will share with you, Layla, and I've been talking to some of our patients, you know, using telemedicine and on the phone. And many of them are very appreciative of our the information that we share via these podcasts. It enables them to stay connected. It informs them from an intelligent medicine perspective what's going on, because the straight news sometimes doesn't really give our natural therapies a fair shake. And we're able to at least to provide sensible information to people about what is, for some people, a very confusing and scary picture.
Okay. Yeah. So thanks, Dr. Hoffman.
Thank you. Thank you very much for joining us. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Stay safe out there.
This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.